Many, many years ago, a long time ago, they had a tent revival in a certain city. And this little boy went to that tent revival and got saved. Got saved. And he has shaken the world for the kingdom of God. You might say, well, who is it? Billy Graham. You never know. It only takes one. Only takes one. And him and his wife, I know she's deceased and passed away, but he's still alive, and his son is doing a great and miraculous things for the kingdom of God. And he shook the king. He shook the world for the kingdom of God, this man. He's in his 90s, I think. Huh? Is that right? He's still in his 90s. And so, you know what? You never know if it takes one. Takes one. You might say, well, where are all the kids? We don't have a lot of kids. Don't worry about that if it's only one. I remember years ago, and I know I've told you this story, about 4 years ago, five, something like that. We were in that other little building. Church starts at 10 o'clock or so. Jelaine and I looking out. Nobody's here except Jelaine and I, Andrew, and Joey. That's it. 10 o'clock. And at almost 10 o'clock, I mean almost 10, one person comes in. We shut that over there in that other little building where the children's church is, you had to come through the front door. Then we'd lock it because of the way things were. And you went through the back door later on. But at 10 o'clock, we shut that door, and there was one. And I said, well, Lord, okay. Okay. And she's still here today. Praise God. Praise God. And we started church, and then when I got up to preach, there was about 15 or so people just coming in from the back door. So you see, you always never put your eyes upon circumstances of life. Because you see, the devil can manipulate that. That's a lesson to learn. The devil can manipulate the world and its system because he is the God of this world. So he can manipulate those things, okay? You might say, well, can we manipulate things? No, no, we don't go into witchcraft and stuff like that. No, 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 no. But we can pray the word of God and the presence of God upon certain situations that the Father will move. You see, the world system says that man will die and go to a place that's not good, hell. But God said, I won't let that happen, and he sent his son Jesus. Why did he send his son? Because of the love in his heart for us. See, that's the difference between every other God and our God. Now, they're not on the same level at all. But any God that tries to put themselves upon the level of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, cannot even come close. Because the Father sent part of himself, because Jesus was the Godhead. The Father was there, three in one. So everything the Holy Spirit does, the Father and Jesus does. Everything Jesus did upon the earth for 33 and a half years, the Father and the Holy Spirit did. It's all three in one. That's why when it says that he created the world, let us create the heavens and the earth, he's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not just one. They're three different, distinct beings, yet they're one. And I know it's hard to comprehend that, but they're one. They work together. There's no diverting from each of them. They're together. And look, the Father said, I love my people. The Father says, I love Joe. Put your name in there. The Father says, I love him. Jesus too, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. And so the Father says, Jesus, go. And Jesus came and died on that cross so we could be reconciled back to the Father because of his love for us. His love. His love. His love. And sometimes, you know, we as human beings, even if we have Jesus in our hearts and we've accepted him as our Savior, sometimes we still try to look for the acceptance of man. And there's nothing wrong with man accepting. There's nothing wrong. But we should not look to that to be the driving force in us to be accepted. It should be because God loves us. You might say, well, Pastor, but you don't realize what's going on in here. Only God knows. Only God knows. Because you see, I know every one of us struggle with a lot of things. We struggle sometimes. And sometimes we think we have to be perfect. We don't have to be perfect. What we have to do is do what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, to trust in the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. To trust in Him. To trust in the Lord with all our heart, soul. To trust Him. To trust Him. Saying, Father, you might say, why are you all saying this? I'm going to get to my message. Don't worry about it. Trusting Him that He can handle all those things on the inside of us. How many of you have been bombarded in your mind with things? I mean, you know, the devil just, it's like you're going, oh my God. I know, probably every one of you could raise your hands. I know it. Because I know when the devil starts to do things, he doesn't just do it to one, he does it to the whole body trying to destroy. See? And so what we got to do is come against that thing. We say, okay, Lord, you are the author and finisher of our faith. And we know that you are in control. And we put our faith in Him. We put our faith in what Jesus did at the cross of Calvary. And we get in that word and we consume it. Because what the devil will try to say, or what we even think, well, we don't need it, or we don't want it. Or sometimes, honestly, I don't even want to read the word. You might say, oh, you're a pastor. Sometimes I'm just so tired. It's like I'm just, but then I force myself, honestly, to get it in. Forcing to get that word in. To get it in. See, God so loved the world. And what He's saying is, give it to me. Give me those things. Give me those things that are weighing you down, and I'll take them. But this is what we want sometimes, because we're used to, we order something and we get it right away. And look, don't let them be 2 minutes late, because we want it for free. And that's a shame, huh? Now, there are certain circumstances in life that, look, come on now, you know, shouldn't take that long to make that food. But we want to order at the window, drive about 10 feet, and it's ready. And that's fast food. That's what it's called. That's fast food. It doesn't mean it's healthy. It's just fast. And we think, this is what we do. We drive in our car. We're praying. We drive up to the window. We say, okay, now, Holy Spirit, Father, because we have to pray to the Father through Jesus. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. We always say the Jesus name because we want to make sure He gets it. And there's nothing wrong with that, because we're doing what the Word says. And I need help in this area. I need you to do this for me. And they, okay. And then we drive to the next spot. And we want that window to open. And we want the Father to give it to us. Now, there's nothing wrong with expecting, because we should have an expectancy in our hearts. We should expect God to change us. We should expect God to answer our prayers. We should expect God, because He's alive. Amen. Yes. But our God is not fast food. Yeah. Now, He may do something miraculously. Praise God. But if He doesn't, we should have the same faith when we place that order, is that when we're at that window waiting for that food spiritually. We should have the same faith, saying, okay, Lord, I'ma just believe you. I'ma believe you. I'ma believe you. And God will bring about the things we need in His timing, not to give up. Abraham and Sarah had to wait 20-something years before the promised son arrived. And let me tell you, don't you think when God spoke to them and said, you're going to have a promised son? Look, I know she laughed at first, you know, and all this stuff. And then after all the scenario of all that stuff, they got down to the basics and they said, okay, he's coming. And they said, oh, within the year. Oh, yeah. The first year goes by. Second year, nothing, nothing, nothing. Then they take matters into their own hands, huh? You might say, well, that was evil what Sarah had Abraham do. Back then, they did that, okay? That was part of their lifestyle. Now, was it right? No. No. But that's what they did. And so they had this other one child that came about from the servant or maidservant. And it caused a lot of problems. Then one day, after 20-something years, Abraham and Sarah saw that this was not the promised son, the one that was born of the maidservant. But they had to keep believing. They had to keep believing. I know there are things that God has spoken to you about that you're saying they're dead. It's dead. And a lot of, and I know that. It may be dead as far as with us, but to God, it's still alive. What it is now is that we need to believe by faith. I know there are things that God has spoken to me about. I know without a shadow of a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, and it seems like everything I've done is falling down towards it. And I keep saying, Lord, stir up my faith to believe, Lord, because it's coming. Stir up my faith and just, Lord, and every day I'll say, Lord, I believe you. I may not see it, what's happening. I may not see it coming about this day, but I see it coming. I see it coming. And people, that's where faith rises up. You may go through things. You may say, Father, I don't see victory. I don't see what's going to happen tomorrow. But you put your faith in Christ and what he's done. And you believe God. You believe God. You believe God. And you don't give up. You might say, well, Pastor, sometimes I want to give up. And I know that. When you want to give up, just lay down and say, okay, Father. And then he says, when we finally give up on ourselves and trying to do it, the Father comes around and gives us the thing that he promised us and fulfills what needs to be fulfilled in our hearts and in our lives. That's the kind of God you serve. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. See, as an individual person, and this is what my message now. As an individual person, you need a prayer life. Everybody say yes. Is it easy? Sometimes it gets hard. But we need a prayer time. A prayer time. Put that scripture, Matthew chapter 5, I think it is, verse 5 and 6 or something like that. Is that it? Yeah. Oh, okay, good. It says, look at this. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Okay, let's stop right there. Back then, these men, Pharisees, Sadducees, you know, They wore all the garb stuff. They wore all the robes, and they had the little bells at the end of their robes, you know, so that as they would walk down the road, the people would hear them walking. And when they would hear, they'd look, oh, that's the priest. That's the holy one, you know, that's the one. They wanted to be seen by everything, by everyone. They even at times, because the scripture had said in the Old Testament that we're to write the scriptures upon our foreheads and upon our hearts. Now, this is a little funny, but they would take scriptures like a box, and they take scriptures and they would tape it somehow to their forehead. Now, that's ridiculous. And they'd stand on the street corner and they would pray. Now, God doesn't want us to pray, you know, where everybody can see. It's not we come to church together and what we're doing, we're worshiping God, but everybody's worshiping God. Everybody's lifting up their hands. Everybody, and if you're not, you just, you know, you from your heart, you're saying, Jesus, I love you. And look, that's praise. When you're saying, Jesus, help me. Look, that's praise still unto him. But they had these guys that would stand on the street corner and they would shout all these prayers to Jehovah God. And everybody that walked by them saw them. And what they got was their glory. And God was not pleased with it. Now, verily I say, in the middle part, verily I say to you, they have their reward. We should never do something to be seen by people. Don't do it. Now, there's nothing wrong. Now, let me back up. There's nothing wrong when somebody comes and says, man, I saw this and thank you for doing that. You know, there's nothing wrong with somebody coming and praising and giving, but you don't do it to be seen. You see? That's like, you know, there's a beggar, let's say, there's a beggar on the street begging for money, and you wait and you want to give him a dollar or two, you know, or $5 or $10, and you see he's all by himself. No one's walking by or nothing. So you wait. You don't want to do it then, because nobody's going to see you put the $10 in the basket. So what you do is you wait. You wait till about noontime, and people start to come around because he's in a busy area. And when all these people around you go up and you say, here, I want to help you, and you say it loud. That's to be seen by people. We shouldn't do that. Now, there's nothing wrong if you're passing by and there's a bunch of people and you say, oh, yeah, praise God, I want to help, you know, if you want to. And they say, oh, thank you. You see, we should not do things to be seen. But God says what we do in secret will be rewarded openly. Now, we think of that as a good thing, huh? What we do in secret as far as praying and seeking God and reading our word and in secret. I mean, you know, not that it will be rewarded openly, that God will bring it about somehow, some way. But also we need to remember, the evil that is done in secret, malicious things that are done in secret, will be brought to light. And I know we probably could see it more if, I'll say, in government. Things that are done in secret, all of a sudden they come to light that they did some evil stuff. They thought they'd never get caught. See, so we got the motive of our heart. So look, that they had their reward. But thou, when thou hast praised, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee open. Now, you might say a closet. Oh, man, every closet I have is full. Either full of clothes, full of food, full of something. He's not so much talking about a physical closet, but it could be if you, that's, but what he's saying is get in a place where you can be alone with God. It could be in your bedroom. I don't know. Could be in the bathroom. Could be outside. Could be in your vehicle. Something. But get every day, take some time with God. You know, you might say, well, you know, and I'm talking about quiet time. Some good quiet. And you might say, well, Pastor, how long? Could be 15 minutes, could be 10 minutes, could be 5 minutes, could be an hour, could be 30. I don't know. But I know this, the more God starts to speak and heal your heart, the more you want to get with him. You see, you take two people that are dating, you know, dating and stuff. They share things because they spend a lot of time together with each other. Or you take a couple that's been married, whatever, 20 years. Ms. Gail said, I don't want to know. No. 20, whatever, a lot of years. But you know what? They start to know one another because they start to share things that no one else knows except God, them, that person, and maybe that other person. Because they start to share things with each other. God is saying this, get in a place somewheres each day. You may have to get up 5 minutes before you usually do, or 10 minutes before you usually do. But I tell you what, it will make a world of difference for the spirit man on the inside of your heart. The spirit man. And take that time to either sit down. Some like to sit. Some can sit on the floor, sit in a chair. You see, with God, it doesn't matter. But to find a quiet time, because I tell you what, during that quiet time, the Holy Spirit could start to speak things to your heart. And you can share with God things upon your heart. And you know what happens? An intimate relationship starts. And that's what God wants. An intimate relationship. You might say, well, man, I'm messed up, though. I mean, you know, we all think we're all messed up. And yes, we are. We are. We're messed up with sin. We're messed up with the sin nature. There's things in all of us. But you see, when we get with God, the Holy Spirit comes and starts to heal the hurts on the inside of us. Do you, you know, you may think of yourself or think of someone, whoever. They'll stop doing something, and all of a sudden they go back to it. Something not good. You know, something that's not good for us. You know, as a, whatever it may be. Sin is sin, people. They go back to that thing. But I tell you what, once you're touched by the Holy Spirit, and once you're touched by God, He can help you overcome those things that need to be overcome as we put our faith and trust in Him. It says, get in that closet. Look, because this is what we want. We want to get with God. And we may come to Him. And, you know, this is personally what I do, basically. I like to sit on my swing outside. They have cars passing, but it's still quiet. That's where I like to sit. Sometimes, you know, maybe in the living room early in the morning. But just go to God and say, Father, I love you. I love you. I appreciate you. I praise you. I honor you. Because it says to enter His courts with praise. To enter in. And you start to just praise Him a little bit. Then you go before Him with the things that are weighing upon your heart that day. Because you see, one thing I know is true. When each of us get up in the morning, not one of us knows what's going to happen that day. I mean, we have an agenda, kind of, you know, well, I'm going to go to the store, I'm going to go to work, or, you know, kind of that general stuff. But we don't know what the devil has planned for us out there. We know God is ultimately in charge. And so we have to go before God and say, Lord, whatever the devil has planned for me, stop it. And Father, into your hands I place my heart, my life, my church, my family, trusting Him. But to get in that closet, if you want to say it that way, and just spend time with Him. Because how can God deal with us with things if we don't take time with Him? How can God strengthen us if we don't take time with Him? And I'm talking about strengthen the spirit man. Man, the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit can do in 1 second can change our lives forever. The healing, the power of God, the presence of God. And so it says this, but thou without praise, enter to thy closet where thou hast shut the door. Pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now we don't seek him to get a reward. That's not what we do at all. We seek him because we love him. And you see, God knows what we go through anyway, and what's going to happen in our hearts and lives. He knows the struggles. He knows how the devil comes at you. He knows that the devil knows our weaknesses, our struggles. He knows those things. And so the devil knows it. But God has a plan. And God knows how to strengthen his church. God knows how to strengthen you and help you to overcome those things that's in all of our hearts that needs to be taken out by the Spirit of God. In Ephesians, it says, Ephesians, put up Ephesians 6, I think it is, verse 10. Yeah, that's good. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Go back to the first few verses. Thank you. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look, let me tell you. We do not stand, you and I do not stand a chance against the enemy. I know you have preachers out there that tell you all kind of stuff, you know, but we do not stand a chance with the wiles of the enemy. I mean, let me tell you, he knows what buttons to press. He knows what people to bring your way. He knows what to do. He has a plan. And buddy, he goes back to those plans. He rolls up Joseph Dalton Boutin, senior. He looks in that file. Yes, right there. But usually it's always old tactics. But let me tell you, there's a God that has won victory upon the cross. His name is Jesus Christ. The name, how great is he? That all I have to do is go to him and say, Father, help me. Help me. Help me. We need help. And the Father's there ready to give us help, people. The devil will try to tell you when you fall, it's no more good. That you're useless for the kingdom of God. You're useless to God. But let me tell you, David wasn't useless. And God used him for the kingdom of God. Peter wasn't useless, and God used him for the kingdom of God. That's the power of God. He can use you no matter what. When things happen or when things come your way, you fall upon the grace of your God. And you call upon him and you ask him to give you the strength and the power and the anointing to get through that next day. It may seem hopeless at times. But let me tell you, God says when the temptation is so great, when you're bombarded with the same thing day after day, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, God said in his word that he will make a way out where there seems to be no way. That's God. You might say, well, how do you know it? Because God is not a liar. God said he would make a way. And let me tell you, you might say, well, Pastor, get that scripture. Write it down somewheres. Keep it on you. And when things come, you get that scripture out. And you say, devil, I'm going to remind you of God's word. That means you're coming to him not in your own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. And God, make a way out for me. And he'll make it. You might say, well, Pastor, what if I still fall? Okay, you know what you do? You get up. You call upon the Lord. You ask forgiveness. And let me tell you, he forgives. He knows of it no more, people. The grace of God supersedes the power of sin any day. The grace of God is poured out upon a people that supersedes anything that we could do that is evil in the sight of God. But we call upon him and we say, Father, forgive me. And it says that he remembers it no more as far as the east is from the west. My God, that means it's not even in his remembrance anymore. But people, God has raised us up as children of the living God to be children that stand up for truth and righteousness and what is right. And the devil, we not only fight people, but in a way, we don't fight people. We fight principalities, powers, and all those things in high places. Sometimes he uses people. But always remember, you don't fight people. You fight the enemy behind them. The enemy behind them. That's influencing them and giving them the strength and the power to accomplish what the devil wants. But our God has conquered things in our hearts. And let me tell you, the dividing asunder of soul and spirit by the word of God. For it says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come to give us life and to have it more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's when we do something we know we shouldn't have done. We know it. We said something we shouldn't have said. Oh. But then Jesus comes in and he says, I'll give you life and you'll have it more abundantly. That's the power of our God. That's the power of your God. Prayer, people. Praying. Put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the loins girt about with truth, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And as you're putting it on, saying, Lord, I thank you for the armor of God that's upon me. Thank you, Lord. That's found in Ephesians chapter 6, the latter part of those verses. The armor of God. People, God is looking for an army that won't back down. God's looking for an army that'll stand up and win the battle. And you're in that army. You're in it. There are people's lives that are weighing in the balance on our prayers. Now that doesn't mean we are gods. No, 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 no. But God is waiting for us to pray to come against those things. Not that we do it. We pray and he does it. Because his word will stand true to the end. That's the power of our God. People, don't sly on your prayer time and the reading of the word of God. Don't sly on it. And I know sometimes we may not understand everything in the word of God, but read it. Don't sly on your time of spending with God. Because let me tell you, we'll get so busy, at the end of the day, we're closing our eyes to go to sleep, and we're saying, Lord, I haven't prayed, I haven't read, I haven't done anything. And the weeks go by, months go by, and all of a sudden, our backs are against the wall. And it seems like the walls are crushing in. And God is saying, call unto me, and I will hear you. And so what we do is, that doesn't mean that, you know, if we read our Bibles and pray and do that, the enemy won't come against us. He will. He will, definitely. He wants to, because he wants to destroy the faith of God's people. But we keep our faith in him. And we read the word of God, we get it in us. We spend time in prayer so that he could speak to us and share things with us to give us direction that we need. How many of us have been in a place where we needed God's direction? My God, we didn't know what to do. And we spent time with him. We yielded our knee before him. And all of a sudden, it came. And we said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And we got up. And we knew it was a word from God. And we went and did it. And it succeeded. You want to know why? Because when God says something, it always succeeds. That's why we got to spend time with him so he can speak to us, heal our hearts, and we can tell him things, and we can build that relationship with him. Praise God. You may stand, please. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart to him this morning, or maybe you've come to a place where years ago you did and you're saying, I just need to renew my relationship to the Lord this morning, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? I just want to make sure. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may look this way. As far as I can see, everybody's heart's right. Thank you, Lord. If the rapture comes before next Sunday, we'll all be in it. Thank you, Lord. We'll have church in heaven. The best place. The best place. Before we go, I want to explain one thing to you. You know, I know when we were praying for Marie, the power of God will hit you sometimes and you'll fall. That's called slain in the spirit. And I want to kind of explain what that is just for a minute. When the power of God comes and we can't take it, it's like our knees just fall back. And you know, you might say, well, sometimes I don't fall. I mean, and that, just because you fall doesn't mean more power is on one person than another. But I want to explain that it's the power of God and the body can't take it. And so you just surrender and you just fall back. And that's all it is. That's all it is. Okay, so she didn't faint, you know, but I like to explain because, you know, people don't know sometimes. And so it's just the power of God and then fall. And then the power of God just still works upon their lives and hearts. Amen. Look, guys, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and love you. And don't forget, if you're being water baptized, just to stay for a few minutes. And I apologize. I went over a little bit. But praise God, you have a great week. We love you and we appreciate you and we thank God for you. You're a great bunch of people. Amen. God bless you. Amen.